on ABC Sport,
your home of cricket.
The Gabba crowd applaud that with good reason. K.L. Rahul in the end picking up just a single in what looked like a certain boundary. India 2 for 22.
Ends the over, Australia 2 for 22.
They'll take a single, the Aussie pair. 2 for 22.
And it's a Richie number on the board. How good are you at Richie?
2 for 22.
Yeah, no, the great man grew up listening to Richie.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio, and on the ABC Listen app.
Well, he's been doing it for more than 50 years. He is the official voice of summer, and it's great to welcome back onto the ABC Sport airwaves for another cricket season, and even more importantly, an Ashes series. Jim Maxwell, how are you, Jimmy?
Zeno, I'm very, very well. Have you recovered from the triumphs of Brisbane in the last couple of weeks? It's been extraordinary. I'm imagining that Queenslanders will secede.
Well, you've been pouring your coffee into a saucer, haven't you? Because we've got all the cups up here.
Very good, and thoroughly deserved too, particularly that NRL grand final. That was a huge performance to win that game.
Well, of course, we're here to talk about cricket, your favourite sport, and there's no doubt about it, Jim. Doesn't matter when an Ashes series rolls around, there's just an enormous amount of hype and excitement. And in 2025, I think it's right at the zenith. I don't think I've ever seen it as hyped as it is at the moment.
Well, let's hope it lives up to the hype, and it probably will, with both teams a bit here and there, with a variety of issues, with injury, form perhaps. Thousands of English fans are going to be here. The grounds will be full. The atmosphere will be charged with the excitement, the emotion that comes with Australia playing the old enemy over there, England. And let's hope that we get cricket that's a high standard and as good as it's been, really, in the last few series of Test cricket that we've seen. Last year was brilliant against India, and I'm sure this year it's got a chance of being the same.
Well, I'm looking forward to introducing you to our new segment called 2 for 22. I've been struggling with the Richie accent, but before we do that, I better ask you a couple of things regarding those injuries and possible opportunities in the side. Firstly, Pat Cummins, who I know you're very close to, how do you think he's going, Jimmy? Do you think there's a real chance we will miss him in that first test? And if he is out, how do you replace what's been such an inspirational skipper for Australia?
Well, I don't think there's much doubt at the moment because of the unknown about his back and how long it's going to take for him to get back to the fitness required just to bowl. I mean, you've got to say there's a fair chance on what we're hearing that he may not play any of the tests. When you think if he's going to miss the first test, if he's not at least bowling in the nets or something by then, how ready is he going to be to play any match when there's five tests in just over 7 weeks? So I think that's a risk for Australia that needs to be taken on board. And therefore, Scott Boland obviously is the first player off the bench. After that, it's a bit of a fishing expedition. Sean Abbott would be right up there. There'd be a few others, but you really can't tell until the game starts moving along. But that's the first part of it. And the other side of it from England's viewpoint is, first of all, will Ben Stokes be fit enough to play regularly? Will he be able to bowl a lot? And will the alleged spearheads, match winners, Jofra Archer and Wood, will they be able to play much more than a game or two? I mean, in their careers, they've only played one test together, but they look like being the sharpening tools for England to win this series. But that's just some of the speculation around who might play and what could happen. It's really just too much in the unknown to speculate what the result might be, whereas in the last few tours, you've had a pretty good idea before England got here that Australia would win.
Ryan Harris, who I spoke to in the first hour of this program today, said that He feels that they might have Archer and Wood rotating through with the rest of the pace attack so that they're available for the alternate test matches. So I don't know whether that's a procedure, but he also threw into the mix, you know, Brendan Doggett, Nathan McAndrew. I know up here in Queensland, you mentioned Sean Abbott. I'm going to throw in Michael Neese. So we've all got our thoughts on who might be able to come into that Australian team, but it's still that the skipper, your good mate Steve Smith, how much pressure is going to be on him? Not only because he's going to be the skipper in Pat's absence, but as we know, he hasn't had a great time with the English fans in recent seasons post-sandpaper gate.
I suppose not. He's had a few good series between then and now. So, although he's getting on a bit at 36, I suppose, he's still a very gifted player, and you'd think that he'd add some weight to Australia's run scoring. The kind of unknowns around that are, you know, who's going to open with Khawaja? Will it be Constance or Labuschagne? Where does Labuschagne fit if he doesn't open, if he fits at all? Green, will he be batting at three? Where will he go? And will he be bowling very much? Travis Head, yes. He's certainly to play on the side. Webster, maybe. Marsh, what would you do with him? Is there a spot? Inglis? So there are a few alternatives at the moment. I'll be interested to see what happens in the next couple of Sheffield Shield matches to give us a better idea about the shape of the top six. But the bowling still looks pretty good around Hazelwood and Stark. It is, as you say, without Cummins and the fact that one or two of those fellas might have to be rested somewhere, that we get a problem, particularly as there are a number of likely fast bowlers who are on the injury bench.
Yeah, well, you and me both, as to watching those Sheffield Shield matches, it was compulsory viewing over the last week. That is for sure. Watching who's going to be the next cab off the rank when it comes to this Australian team. And look, we know that every cricketer wants to play in the Ashes, and you get to call these games, so you're going to be giving your perspective as a commentator. But when you think of the Ashes, what's the first memory or moment that comes to mind for you, Jim Maxwell?
Gee, there are quite a few. But if I go back to my youth, I would think it's the SCG Test match of 1965 when a fella called Bob Barber made his only Test century batting with Boycott in an opening partnership of 234, and he scored 185. I was sitting in the sun with my ABC cricket book, as it was called, and I still have the yellowed copy of that where I was keeping the score while I was watching under my sun hat. That was a momentous test match, which Australia lost badly in the end, but it was just the bravado, the virtuosity of Barber that set the Ashes contest alight on that occasion.
A single to Boycott, and Barber on 99 has the strike. A century to Bob Barber, his first in a test match, and certainly a fine innings to watch. With 100 runs against his name, Barber opens out with a brilliant display of stroke making. A sweep to leg, 4 runs to Barber.
But it wasn't a very happy outcome. Australia got beaten by an inning. So that's one of my early memories. There are plenty of others as I go through to games like 2005 at Edgbaston, Stokes' extraordinary performance to win the game at Leeds.
358 for 9. Stokes on strike. England need one to win. And in comes Pat Cummins from the far end. He bowls to Stokes, who hammers it for 4! And stands there with the bat raised. I can't believe we've seen that.
That is the most extraordinary innings ever, ever been played by an Englishman.
In 2019, when he scored the match-winning century, in the next Test match, which made sure Australia would retain the Ashes.
Hazelwood comes in. Overton's
in. Oh, it's out.
Pad. How is that?
That's
LBW.
Out.
LBW. He's out. He's reviewing it, though.
It's now and it's hitting.
It's out.
And it's all over. Australia have won this game by 185 runs. They're all hugger-mugger out there. It's delighted to have retained the Ashes.
There are plenty of highlights, I have to say, including watching Thompson and Lilly before I was broadcasting in 74-5. That was the most amazing series of high-velocity quick bowling that just destroyed England.
Thompson bowling to Gregg.
Oh, bowled him. Yorked him, leg stump. And the jubilation from the Australian team.
And, of course, the famous Yorker from Geoff Thompson that took out Tony Gregg's leg stump, and the old saying of ashes to ashes, if Lily don't get you, then Tomo must. It was remarkable, wasn't it, back in the day. Mm. Look, you've called so many, but do you prepare differently for an Ashes series than you do to any normal cricket series?
I just keep my eyes and ears open so that I can receive any information that's going around. Certainly since I had a stroke, I don't carry much stuff around with me when I'm broadcasting, unlike the early days when I did have the ammunition of some background stats and the rest of it. But now, of course, I tend to rely a bit more on Rick Finlay. Someone's always got that kind of information. And it's not all about the stats. It's about the theatre of the contest, that kind of drama, and the involvement of the crowd that really matters. So I have a few things going around in my mind, but I find as I get older that there's a bit of a database there that I can draw on when someone pulls the trigger. That's pretty much the way it works.
The old iPad works well, doesn't it, Jimmy? Especially when you're doing the games on a Saturday and you need to see the race results as well.
Well, that's very important. Sometimes actually see the race while you're calling the cricket, but I didn't say that, did I?
Never do that.
You've got to have a split personality or something, yes.
Jim, well, that's why we love you. That's why you're the voice of summer. Jim Maxwell with us on ABC Sports. So great to have him with us on Summer Grandstand. Now, Jim, who do you think's the toughest player that Australia's ever come across during the time that you've been calling the Ashes?
John Edridge, without doubt. I think even Dennis Lilly said he was one of the hardest blokes to get out. A very determined, doughty left-hander. Boycott, obviously, he's a very good player in his prime. But consistently, Edridge was the nut to crack. It was his doggedness and determination that got England into good positions on a number of times. So, he's the one that immediately comes to mind, yes.
We're speaking to Jim Nostradamus Maxwell on ABC Sport. This is Summer Grandstand with Zane Bojack. Hope you're enjoying the program. And we are getting Jim to give his fearless predictions ahead of the 2025-26 Ashes series. Now, Jim, here we go. I want you to be as accurate as you can possibly be. Who do you think takes the most wickets?
Stark.
You happy that he's going to play a bit more BBL as well? You love that form of the game.
well, in small doses, like the IPL, that'll be enough for me.
And he's going to play the 50-over games as well, starting with Sunday against India at the Perth Stadium, which we're looking forward to. Now, Jimmy, who do you see as the top run scorer for the series?
It might be Joe Root.
Does he get his 100 for the benefit of our good mate, Buff Lehman?
No, he'll probably get 3. I think it could be Joe Root, but, you know, there are many candidates, I guess, including his mate from Yorkshire, Mr. Brooks, but and then there's Duckett and Crawley and so on. And, you know, for Australia, it might be Cameron Green's series with the bat. He might finally, as it were, getting over some fitness issues, play in the way we've been expecting him to play and dominate the series. But, it's a bit of a raffle. I wouldn't be putting, like Richie Beno said, don't bet on anything that talks.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what's going to happen with Cameron Green. He scored 1,000 runs in that county season, didn't he? Just scoring runs for fun over in England. But where he's going to bat and how he's going to go with his bowling, trying to combine those two after coming off that back injury, is going to be very interesting. Now, Jimmy, what's one headline you think we'll be reading by the end of the Ashes?
Mitchell Starc has decided to retire from Test cricket at the end of the Ashes.
Okay. Big call by Jimmy. The end for Starc.
Just think he'd like to go out on top and maybe the superannuation around the corner, playing T20 for the last couple of years of his career may be enough to keep him going, even though he's been a great servant and very loyal to playing Test cricket. This series just might see him out. We'll see.
Okay, and if you had to call the series result today, what would your prediction be? I know Glenn McGrath would say 5-0. What do you say, Jim Maxwell?
Australia 3-1 with a draw somewhere because of the rain or the pink ball or whatever it is.
So Australia gets another win under the auspice of Jim Maxwell at the microphone. When do you head to Perth, Jimmy? When will we see you ahead of this Ashes test? You're not doing any white ball cricket for us in the lead-up?
Well, I could go over for a few meetings at Gloucester Park, I suppose, just across the road, or even have a swim in the pool there at the Wacker. That looks very inviting. But no, I don't think I get there until the 20th of November.
All right. Well, hopefully we hear you again on Summer Grandstand before then, because you are the doyen of this sport. You are the voice of Summer. Jim Maxwell, always a pleasure to chat to you on Summer Grandstand. Give my love to Jen and the dog, Rusty. Hopefully he's giving you some cuddles as we speak right now. And we look forward to seeing you in the commentary box in Perth on November 21.
Now, all Aussies have to remember, Zane, that a barking collie dog off the leash will always get the better of a British bulldog in an Australian summer.
Oh, Jim, what a way to finish. You're the best.
Righto.